This Citywire podcast is sponsored by Scottish Mortgage Investment Trust. Scottish Mortgage invests in some of the world's most promising and exceptional companies. From healthcare breakthroughs to electric vehicles to a green energy revolution, Scottish Mortgage takes stakes in businesses shaping our future economy and society. As with any investment, capital is at risk.
I'm John Schaefer, and I'm here with Bill Hench, fund manager at First Eagle Investments. Bill, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
You are launching a UCITS fund. It's a version of your US small cap fund. Could you tell me why you're launching that?
I had been in the UCITS market at my prior firm, probably from back in 2007. And we had a lot of success, both here and around the continent and also in Asia. And it was a great product because it fit a part of the market that I think overseas investors really don't get a chance to talk about or know about that much. It's a product that really is completely domestically focused. About 80% of the revenues from the companies we invest in are typically in the US.
Your fund focuses on firms that have inefficiently valued assets. In which sectors are you seeing best opportunities there?
The strategy is one that is value and inefficiently valued assets, turnarounds, undervalued growth stories, busted IPOs. Things of that nature. Restaurants, for instance, a lot of consumer names. Technology has given us a really good window into capital equipment for semiconductors. And these lulls, these fallow periods really provide, as we like to say, great entry points, right? Why? Because you can get assets at very, very good valuations.
How worried about some of these portfolio companies going to the wall, essentially? Obviously, borrowing costs are going up.
We don't have a portfolio that is as levered as it was in the past. If you think back to prior to the financial crisis, it was pretty common for in our market cap world to see a lot of industrials, a lot of energy companies, a lot of financials, a lot of retailers borrowing as much as they possibly could, right? And to grow, right? To grow square footage or to grow sales. Damn everything else, let's just get bigger. And that's changed dramatically. Everybody got religion post financial crisis. So many of our companies, even the biggest turnarounds, are in pretty good financial shape. And if we look at my current strategy, probably about a quarter of our names either have no debt or no debt payments due before the end of next year.
Perhaps less of these companies will go into liquidation, but if you're saying that they're less targeting growth, there might be fewer companies that are going to shoot the lights out as well.
There might be, yeah. But you also tend, and on the other side, you tend to get a lot of M&A activity. So you tend to get, especially in our part of the market, smaller companies tend to get eaten up during periods like this. Bigger companies looking for quicker ways to grow, take advantage of the low stock prices, much as we do, right? Much as what private equity has been doing.
And is that one of the key factors when you're looking at a company?
It's not. Our strategy uses a lot of names. So we have about 240, 250 names normally. So on average, we probably lose between 15 and 25 companies a year to M&A. It feels good that day, right? Mm. You go and you say, my goodness, look, something's up 30%.
But then you've got to find something else to put in your fund, right?
Not only that, but it's not benevolence that makes somebody give me a 30% premium for the stock. They're giving you 30% because they know it's worth 50% more, right? Mm. So someone's actually stealing from you. But you take the money and you reinvest it. And hopefully, as you said, go find something else that's going to give you a return.
I wanted to look at performance. So since inception of the UCITS fund, the fund's down more than 20%. Your benchmark seems to be the Russell 2000 index. Why haven't you been able to beat that benchmark?
Sure. So in periods where the markets are not doing well, we tend to either, as I say, fully participate or fully participate and a little bit more on the downside. We use periods like this, and I could go back to 02, 08, 2011, end of 2018 with the taper tantrum, the beginning of 2020. We use these periods to really get as much an advantage for the long term as possible, which means we're beating up our own performance. So we're buying those things that tend to be under the most stress right now. Our strategy tends to be on the smaller part of small cap versus sort of the jumbo shrimp types. Bottom of the indexes tend to perform a little bit worse because of liquidity.
What is smaller from a US standpoint? Because, US small
caps. Sure, so our median market cap in our strategy is probably about $1 billion, which is probably about 30 to 40% smaller than many of our competitors and the index. So in the short term, it has an adverse effect. And quite frankly, one of the first things we tell clients is we do not get defensive during periods like this, and therefore don't expect us to give you cover. What we do expect, however, is to use this as best as we can. And this is very self-serving, but we think during periods like this, we're actually making lots of money, right? Because if we've done our work correctly and say a stock is, in our eyes, worth $10 when they fix it, if today I could buy it for $7 instead of $8, I've really increased that spread.
One sector that you're particularly bullish on is the restaurant sector.
Yes.
And that's seemingly something that under harder times would be affected quite severely. Why do you think that's a good play at the moment?
Like a lot of other industries, it was a, you know, complete washout during COVID, and then you had the recovery, and then of course we had this new phenomenon where no one wanted to work anymore, and then we had inflation. As you can imagine, the stocks reacted very, very negatively. But what you'll find, similar to any other industry, is that the good ones, the good management teams, figure out how to work with it or fix it, right? So if you think about the restaurants in particular, it's been almost a year now that they've been affected, and they were one of the first ones who were affected by inflation, right? So food costs and labor costs both up dramatically. Any good management team is going to work with their schedule, they're going to work with their menu, and they're going to try to get things a little bit better, right? So they'll smooth out those margins. As inflation abates and as more people come back into the workforce, both of which we're seeing now, they should be able to capture some of that margin and actually be in possibly better shape than they were before.
Will it be too late by then, though? Will all those restaurants have gone to the wall by then?
No. You know what? And actually, the fact that many of them have either reduced their square footage or their units will actually be better for those left standing.
You've got 245 holdings or thereabout in the strategy. I mean, why have you opted for such a sort of low conviction approach?
First and foremost, it helps us with managing risk. No matter how much research you do, no matter how smart you think you are, no matter how great you think the company is, you're going to be wrong, right? And in small cap versus big cap, if you're wrong and you're down 50% on a name, it's tough to get out. It's tough to recover from. And we don't want that. And the liquidity isn't there. So what we found is that breaking the bets up, not having concentration, has actually been a big advantage.
One of your more bullish plays in your top 10 is Herc Rentals. Share prices dipped pretty significantly this year.
Right.
Why has that happened, sure. And is there an opportunity there?
Sure. So Herc was actually spun out of the Hertz rental car business, and they're the tool rental and equipment rental arm, similar to United Rentals. And very economically sensitive, obviously. And they pulled back because there's a fear of economic activity being reduced going forward, which in many cases it already has. Most of their business is on the commercial development side versus residential. So we do think that that's not going to be as affected. The stock has come down, not so much because the earnings have come down. They haven't come down much at all. But rather the perception that things are going to get bad. We think that's a bad bet to assume that. We think the market is still tight. Rates are still very, very good. And we think that's a great name to look at for a recovery.
Which stocks have been a bit more resilient?
The energy stocks have been much more resilient, and resilient is probably the understatement of the year. I mean, we've got some energy stocks that, you know, are up over 100%. Many of them bottomed. Many of for more than one reason, right? That the commodity prices were awful. There was also a reluctance for many investors to do anything in the energy sector, and they had gotten down to prices that were probably, you know, a lot of them had market caps that were below the replacement value of the equipment.
Curtis Wright is perhaps one of the stocks that's been a bit more resilient.
Sure. So that's an example of one of the things we do. We look for sort of sum of the parts type of investments. And they've essentially got three different businesses. They've got power, defense electronics, aerospace. And when we add everything up, we come to a number that's significantly larger than the stock price. Now, it's done well lately in a world where many of our stocks have not done well. So I don't want to give the impression that all our stocks are doing as well as Curtis Wright. But this is one where activity and especially defense has become something that people are paying more and more attention to.
Does defense pose an ESG challenge to you at all? I mean, fund managers are pretty torn over this at the moment.
Yeah. Well, I think there was one economist who said they were probably the most socially responsible investments, because without defense, we wouldn't have the freedoms to do all the things that we want to do.
This CityWire podcast is sponsored by Scottish Mortgage Investment Trust. Scottish Mortgage invests in some of the world's most promising and exceptional companies. From healthcare breakthroughs to electric vehicles to a green energy revolution, Scottish Mortgage takes stakes in businesses shaping our future economy and society. As with any investment, capital is at risk.